Blog Talk Radio.
What kind of music? Kind of guy. Who kind of take off? Hey. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been new. You were hating on the low. I've been new. They were hating on the low. I've been new. He was hating on the low. I've been new. Hating on the low, I been new, I been soft. Niggas flaw, niggas fake, but it's straight, nothing to say. I'm busy getting that cake. How you my nigga when your true colors show that you fugazi? Paid attention, I seen it coming and witnessed it daily. Whole stressing, they messy, bitches be broken, be petty. Hate on the low in this show, cause they hate the way I get fed it. But I'm so up with my hustle, staying down, got me every penny. 19, have a penny, hurt me so bad, can't forget it. No, 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 can't forget it. So I wake up and go get it, really from city to city, state to state, that where I'm going. Country to country, they know it's coming, they know I'ma blow. I'm worth a billion, put off some millions, I flippin' for show. I took some losses, it cost me chances, I took for this spot. I put it all in the pot, fuck it, just look at me now. I'm worth a whole lot of K, I was broke, now I'm straight. I done grew up with my faith, so stay the fuck out my face. Lord, call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been new. You were hating on the low. I've been new. They were hating on the low. I've been new. He was hating on the low. I've been new. She was hating on the low.
I say one time for the one time, cause they hate now. Two times for the two times, cause they fake now. Three times for the three times, cause I'm straight now. Now I'ma get money every way and every day now. Put the nigga start hating. Fuck nigga, why you flagging? You can tell I'm straight, you ain't need much, gotta ask me. I done came home, ran it up, now I'm on go. Delicent every, got no boy hating on the low, but I been new. That they were hating on the low, I see through all that fake light window. But I'm D'd up from the feet up, I need pesos. I re-up with that re-up from the same dope. My feet up, got my teeth up, and you still broke. My feet up, got that teeth up, but you still broke. You still broke, fuck nigga, you nigga know what it is, nigga. We getting real money over here, nigga. This Canada gang, nigga, I'm fresh out.
What? Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been new. You were hating on the low. I've been new. They were hating on the low. I've been new. He was hating on the low. I've been new. She was hating on the low.
Yo. Welcome back, world. We back at it, doing it again. Welcome to another episode of Real Adult Talk with SG and Mo Ben. What it do, Mo?
Yo, what's up, Black? What's up, people? What's up, world? Welcome to another Sunday fun day. So as always, roll something up, light something up, pour something up, drink something up, come kick it with your people. This is Real Adult Talk with SG and Mo Biz. Welcome to the show.
Let me tell you, I know you missed me because you was on here 4 minutes early today.
I'm ready to get to it.
I said maybe 2 weeks back-to-back was kind of a long break.
Yeah, a little time off.
Listen, man, hopefully you guys caught up on the previous shows that we had, man. Shout out. No particular order. Shout out to Brazil. Shout out to Finland. Shout out to Australia. Shout out to the United States. Shout out to China for tuning in. Tell a friend and another friend to tune in so you get into our top five countries tuning in. And shout out to everybody all over the world tuning in. we gonna let you know why we was gone for 2 weeks. Yeah. It's so much more. It's the catch up, new beginnings.
Yeah.
New beginnings
and
the catch
up.
So let me tell you.
All right.
I went to Africa for 10 days.
Ah,
it was one
man,
of the most
the cat is out
liberating.
The bag. Yeah. So wait, hold on. I just want to relax. Hold on. Let me set you up. So, yeah. So you know, we was gone for 2 weeks. You know, big shout out to Blacks. She's doing big things. You know, going back to the motherland. So she's been gone for 10 days. So everybody, pull up a seat. You know, it's story time. We all want to know how the trip was. I'm happy she made it back safe and sound. So Black, the show is yours.
Shay. So I'm gonna tell you this. Before we get started, as soon as I came back, I got sick right here in the U.S. of A. I learned from watching this with Jamaica, what they did with Jamaica. And America was trying to send a lesbian person over there to work for the consulate. And Jamaica said, if we accept this person, we have to open it up to everybody. So they didn't. So America said, Jamaica is a level 3 travel warning. It's not safe, da-da. They were lying. It was all because they didn't want to go the American way. Going to Africa for 10 days, I realized how full of shit that the American government is. The American government is dictators. What I tell you is, you have never experienced Africa, you should. I went and experienced Africa, and, man, listen, there's different places you can go and different things you're going to experience. Africa is so much more cleaner than America. They are so clean. Like, the reason they shut down COVID and would not accept the vaccinations because they didn't need it there. They clean by default. Every day they clean it. The kids are clean. The kids are going to school. Hair done. Uniforms looking amazing. I heard like Africa is way more clean than America. If you didn't know, I didn't go to South Africa. I didn't go to the part that was colonized. I was in the forest of Africa. I went to South Africa. I was in Lagos, Africa, and I was in Oshun State. Okay, Oshogbo.
Nice.
I never got sick over there one time, and I was hot as hell. I probably will never go back in March ever again in life. It was hot. It's crazy because they said it was so hot that it hadn't been that hot in like 9 years. But just by luck, that me going in March, it was 102 degrees, 98 degrees. It was hot as hell. I almost had a heat stroke. I battled with the temperature. I'm not a person that, like, I'm vitamin D deficient being here in America because I hate going out in the sun. You know what I'm saying? Like, for long periods of time. So I said, well, there's no way I could be vitamin D deficient coming from Africa. It's hot. But their food is so much more pure. All of their food is made from scratch. Even the animals are grass-fed. All of the animals are grass-fed. All the animals are pure. The animals taste different. They process the animals the day that they cook them. Everything from scratch. Moi moi is what I remember. I love moi moi. And it's like some beans. I think it's black-eyed peas or something like that. And it's smushed up with a breading and it's fried. Moi moi, it has a little spice to it. But moi moi was one of my favorites. Also, for breakfast, they had a rice, and it's tomato sauce. It had onions with it, and then they serve you eggs with it. All of the eggs are laid fresh. So you get freshly laid eggs for the top of the morning. Everything is just completely different in Africa. Moving to Africa, you would have to, of course, know how to get to where you're going. There's not a lot of street signs. And outside of Lagos, there's not really a lot of speed limits. So you drive as fast as you can drive. You got to learn how to drive on their roads. And that's easy. Once you see how they drive, you adapt their ways of them driving. There's no speed limits. It's so beautiful. A lot of trees. I went to Oshun Grove, by Yeye Oshun. Some beautiful stuff. I got a lot of footage that I need to upload on on my family channel. I haven't got there because I got sick. Like, when I came back, like, 2 days later, I got sick. I came back Tuesday night. Wednesday, I was okay. Thursday, I was starting to feel away. Friday, I was completely down. Saturday, I was completely down. Sunday, I've been up today more than I've been up over the last few days. And so I was trying to weigh my options. You know, I'm, like, putting everything out there, like, I went to the river the day before I left Africa. I'm like, okay, I got bit by mosquitoes, but, you know, I don't think this is right. And so as I'm watching my symptoms grow, I'm like, no, because this ain't malaria. This ain't yellow fever. This ain't none of that. Like, this is something completely different because of congestion. And I wasn't nauseated. I wasn't vomiting. I didn't have, you know, the other symptoms that came with it. It was so this congestion was what threw it off. And I'm like, this shit feel like COVID. This don't feel like nothing else. So people are like, oh, you went away, you came back sick. And I'm like, that's what they want you to believe. But Africa is so much more cleaner than the United States. They houses are built out of bricks. All of their houses are built out of brick. Yeah, it's different because you only get light for half a day in Africa. And so you have to have, like, a generator to support whatever. So we were on a compound, so we had a generator to support all of the houses on the compound. So when the lights went out for the light company, the generator came on to support, you know, us there, you know. I learned that in Africa, you don't have free schools. Like, the free schools that they do have, they're not worth going. So people pay three times a year for their kids to go to school and to get a good education and to be modern, you know, citizens of the world. And this is why you see Africans, even in America, dressed up, suit and tie, because they learn that from school. They learn that from grade school, bro. Like, they go, I got footage of them going to school, like, everybody clean. Everybody looking good. And I'm like, man, they need this in America, man. Like, it was so beautiful, man, just to see our people. And, you know, the people that are just out there on the street selling stuff, they are at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, people that got long trips to work and, you know, they don't have time to get nothing to eat to go to work. You could just slow down and buy something in the traffic to eat. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got different things that they sell in traffic that you can eat to hold you over, to get you to work, and then coming back home, get you back home, then you can eat. The wives are generally at home making sure that the house is clean, making sure that the food is there for the people that do have to go out and go to work. It's so beautiful. It's our tradition. It's our legacy. It's where we came from. And being here in America lets you see just how spoiled we have gotten here. We've gotten so far off track. And the places that our ancestors used to, you know how, like, our grannies used to be like, you want to dress nice, you want to look nice, that came from where we came from. And they kept that energy. But now those ancestors are gone, and they're trying to change it up, and that's why you got the sagging pants and all that. You don't see none of that in Africa, man. None of that. Everybody is together. Their food, even a fast food restaurant, like, they got a KFC in Africa. Their KFC is, like, when you not too far from when you leave the airport. They meat is completely different. You could tell there's no antibiotics, no nothing.
Yeah, I've heard that before. The KFC, even in the Caribbean.
It's everything. All of the sodas over there, they don't have caffeine. They carbonated drinks. So they taste completely different. Like, it just lets you see how America's dictatorship, it's about keeping us sick, about keeping us in a loop, about keeping us dependent on their medicine. In Africa, they have their own medicine. In Africa, it's like you tell them what's wrong with you, and then they create the medicine for you. They create the medicine for you based upon what's wrong with you. They do have some medicine that comes from other places, but that's not coming from there. That's not coming from here. And as I told you guys before, like, you know, this is all politics, oppressors. Anybody that speaks against the medicine in America, you know, that's not taking on American ways, that they try to shoot you down. Man, listen, if you have never in your life been to Africa, I strongly urge you take that trip. It is not a lot. again, I was able to take a more hands-on trip because of Ifa for initiation. And so I was able to basically go in and really be with my peoples and really see how things go, how things run. I am fully initiated into Ifa. I am forever grateful for that. Thank you very much. That was a hassle. That was a road. But every hassle and every hurdle was overcame. I was successfully initiated and successfully garnered into my extended family over in Africa. I'm forever grateful. This is an every year trip that I will be taking over to Africa, going to be with my people, and going to spend 10 days every year at best with my folks over in Africa. I'm forever grateful to the Most High God for allowing me to experience this because, you know, here's the thing that I tell people. I'm 42 years old, and I've traveled the United States. I've been to 32 states and hundreds of cities within the United States, and I've seen these things. But the things that I have been able to experience with Ifa, you know, and I tell people this all the time, like, I've experienced life, but life with Ifa is so much greater. And my second half of my life has been the best portion, has been almost the best portion outside of my children, because my children were my best portions and having, you know, my family. But the things that I have accomplished have been so much greater with Ifa, and things that I would have never been able to, I don't think that I would have been able to accomplish without Ifa. You know, you got people that only dream of going back to visit Africa, the motherland. And here I am there 10 days. You know, eating good, you know, seeing the lands and visiting all these places. And it's just so beautiful. And I can say that if push come to shove and I had no choice, like, you know, things went south here, I would definitely go back to be with my extended family in Africa and have to just learn the ways of the land and adjust. We think about how we're here and how we've adjusted to being spoiled. And then, yeah, it's something different for our children, but it's like the children there even work hard. It's no PlayStation. There's no none of that garbage. It's come in, you learn, you grow. You come in and you learn how to be the best version of you. You do your schooling. They're big on knowledge. Regular schooling, knowledge. These people there, they're in college getting degrees for whatever it is to be successful in this world and not be captured by the man-made things that they have captured us to be stagnant, to stay beneath them in America. Everybody is being set up to win and to be the best versions of themselves in Africa. And for that, I'm forever grateful for the homeland. I'm forever grateful for my experience. I'm forever grateful for my extended family who took me in, who loved me wholeheartedly, who fed me, who made sure I was okay. Even when my body started, like, shutting down and I didn't want to eat anymore, they were trying to find ways for me to eat because it was so hot. And then I'm accustomed to eating a certain way, and then I was just like, okay, no, I don't want to eat. And it was like, no, you got to eat something. Do you want to go get some food? Do you want to go get some chicken? Do you want to go get whatever? It was just their duty to make sure that I was okay. And the way that they would make you think that it is in Africa, they don't make you think that you are definitely loved and they truly love you. And they'll tell you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you for who you are, I love you for what you went through. You know what I'm saying? And that's genuinely, you can feel it.
Wow. Deep, man. Glad you had
African
a great
godfather. My African godfather, he was like, I love you. And I started laughing. And then something's like, stop laughing. Because they know what we go through. And our money goes a long ways in Africa, right? It goes a long ways, but they genuinely, like, they have love for you because they know the struggle. It's just when you don't know the struggle, then they're not going to put you on it, but they know the struggle that we go through, you know? And my godfather is one that travels back and forth to the U.S. He can come and relocate to the U.S., but that's not his choice. His choice is to stay in Africa and just come back and forth and visit, and I see why. being there, I see why that's his choice. So it's a very beautiful trip. As soon as I came back, I got sick to like the utmost. And then keeping in mind that my immune system is already working overdrive because I'm coming from Africa for 10 days and things are different. Things are different there. Things are different there than it is here, so to speak, as far as, like, the water that they drink. And then you know how, like, here you would have to stick your head in water for a long period of time for your hands to be shriveled up. And there it's, like, it's different because it's, like, as soon as you stick your head in water, your hands start to shrivel up. They don't have all of this makeshift water, all these chemicals in the water and stuff like that. So when I came back here and I started using this water, my hands started peeling everywhere. My hands were just peeling. I was telling my husband, I'm like, dang, I said, look at my hands, they peeling. My hands were like on the inside were definitely peeling. When I started using this water again here, they have, you know, outside of you, like, oh, they don't have light. This is what we spoil. when I got sick, man, you know, my utmost gratitude to my amazing husband. That man held me down on when I couldn't move at all. Like, you know, he wasn't trying to push me. He seen that I didn't have anything in me. And he made sure that whatever it was, I had it. He made sure that I was okay. And I'm only worried about him getting sick. And I'm like, oh, my God, babe, I don't want you to be sick. I kept checking on him like, you okay, you okay? So far, he's okay. He hasn't gotten sick. We've been spraying it now. But one of my students, when she's a nurse, and she works in urgent care, and she says, there's something going around in Georgia. They have an influx of all people that have the same symptoms that I have. That's coming in. I knew it came from Georgia. Like, you can't make me believe that it came from Africa just because I came from Africa. No, this shit is here. Because Africa is way more cleaner than America. Even going to the airport. The airport, city streets. You ride down the city streets, if you see something, it's something that just fell in the road. And they coming out and they cleaning it up. Like, the streets are very clear. Streets are very clear. You know, yeah, you got some of your streets and some of the states that you go through that may have potholes or something like that in it. But other than that, it's clean. It's clean. The sides of the roads are clean. Everything is fresh. The air is fresh. It's beautiful. Oh, my God, bro. I'm like, man, Mo, you would love it. You would fucking love it, Mo.
Through you right now, but yeah, definitely. You know,
yeah, like
my,
how we are.
I'm not sure which part of Africa I
want to like,
go first. You know, so many different parts. You know.
Yeah, I'm like, man, me and Mo be so in sync with each other. Man, Mo would absolutely just fall in love with this place. Man, it's just fucking beautiful.
I told you, my uncle stayed out there, like, you know, in the 70s, but you know, he had a wife that I guess I didn't agree with her, so he came back. But yeah, he was in what used to be Zaire. Now it's the Sudan. So
it's beautiful.
Yep.
And I got to urge everybody, if you get a chance
to
go,
Republic of the Congo now. That's what I meant to say. But yeah,
shout out to my best friend Smooth that just made sure that I had what I needed to have for the trip. Shout out to my husband. My husband and my dad held it down at home while I was going over there. They made sure that the kids were straight. I was like, I need both of them.
You did a solo trip. It was just you.
Was me, and it was another priestess that went with me. So it was two of us, and she took her daughter. So it was just two of us that went over there, and, you know, our African family made sure that we made it to Oshun State, to Oshogbo safely, make sure that we had a good trip, make sure that we had everything that we needed. It was beautiful, man. It was a beautiful experience. We didn't miss a beat. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I tell my husband, was like, well, you know, you can't go on another trip like that without me. So
I made it to where
he could go, because people are like, why don't you just stick to March and go in March? I'm like, well, you know, I can go in March because I don't have to initiate. But y'all are the ones that got to worry about the weather. You know, I'm telling y'all don't want to go in March, but it will be a great day, you know, because if I go in 10 days, I'm not leaving my husband behind. So I would have to figure that out. I told him I would never go on a long trip like that without him. That trip, of course, was already planned before everything. So that, you know, that I had been working on that for a couple of years. So he said he wanted to go.
Yeah, I know,
he's
been telling me. So it's awesome that consistency.
Yeah, I definitely will take him and let him experience it. Yeah. It's beautiful, man. You got to go experience it. You can't go on what these people tell you. You can't go on what white people tell you. You can't.
I can imagine.
Because guess what? That's what's walking around there more than us. Like, not more than us, but like us, the Chinese folks. The Chinese folks already.
Yeah, they set up shop.
That's why America is trying to get in so bad, because they know that we're leaning more towards the Chinese people. See, the Chinese people aren't forcing their ways on us or forcing their garbage medicine on us. The Chinese people are just bringing technology, and with that, they're making money from that. America tries to be a dictator when it comes to that. So why do you think Africans are leaning more towards the Chinese than America?
And from the Asian culture, you know, they look, as far as medicines, you know, they look more into the herbal stuff. You know what I'm saying? As far as, so that goes hand in hand with Africa.
This is why.
Of course, America, they want to monetize everything. You know what I'm saying? That's why you see a drug commercial on everything you watch now. It's crazy. So I definitely get that.
So I'm happy, and I'm good to know that they are not fucking with these Americans, how America think. You know, these Americans, they making all this money, talking about they going on these missions or whatever. Them people just taking their shit and they throwing away what the fuck they don't need. And they taking their food and they keeping it going. They know they trying to push it in the food. Them people ciphering the food out. They like, you know, you think you're smarter than Africans, but they know better, you know, all together. Like, you know, and I suggest that everybody in Africa continue to push away from the American government and continue to go towards whatever else that makes sense. Because I really realized that the American government was the oppressor when I got there. And I was just like, wow. You know, just knowing that they're oppressing here while we here, while we living. They give you something, but then they want so much more in return. So it's crazy.
Look, that was Black's trip to Africa. So that was your last 2 weeks. So my 2 weeks, wow. Like, I don't even want to say nothing. Like, I'm like, how am I going to compete with that? So my 2 weeks was, again, plan, strategize, execute, consistency. Right now, working on these taxes, finishing this up. You know, big shout-out to Highline Residential. You know, once again, if you move into the New York area, holler at your guy right here. You know what I'm saying? I've got some loose ends. I'm tying up on a couple of deals. Been kind of crazy. But, you know, it's moving in the right direction. So, you know, I'm thankful for that. Now, also, too, you know, peace to anybody out there. I got a funny thing that I'm going to say. Not a funny thing, but just an observation. But I just want to say to anybody that does celebrate, happy Easter, right? But it's funny quick story, right? A few days ago, there was some Jehovah Witness that came to my door, and they knocked on my door, right? And look, my wife is already, like, huffing and puffing because she's like, I'm about to just be long-winded with this story. But, you know what I'm saying? I was just telling her, I was watching something, and I was like, long story short, I'm just like, I don't celebrate death, right? I celebrate life. So, you know, of course, if somebody crosses over, transitions, you know, you want to go to a funeral, you know, and give your respects if you can, you know. I'm not big into funerals, but if it's somebody I truly had a connection with, you know, I'll try my best to make it, you know what I'm saying, just to pay my respects. But I don't want to, but, you know, it's just out of respect, right? But that's it, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to, like, you know, celebrate or, like, you know, take joy into, like, you know, the anniversary of their death. You know, you see that with, like, a lot of different, you know, maybe celebrities that has passed over. But somebody had said something one day, and it really stuck with me, about, you know, never celebrate death, celebrate life. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if somebody passed, you know, from your family or a friend or whatever, just somebody you cared about, you know, a good way to celebrate that person is celebrate their birthday. You know what I'm saying? So I say all that to say this. The Jehovah's Witness came to my house like about a week ago, and they, you know, getting ready for Easter. They had this pamphlet, and, you know, I'm not even on what I used to be like. You know, I used to be really, like, anal when it comes to, like, I see, because, you know, the two Jehovah's Witness ladies, they were black, but they're passing me out a pamphlet. It's got a white Jesus on there, and it says, what does it say? Celebration of Jesus' death. And I'm like, what? So, you know, so I'm looking at it, and they're like, well, why don't you come out for whatever they was having? And I'm like, you know what? No, you know what I'm saying? No disrespect, nothing like that, you know, but I don't celebrate death. You know, I celebrate life. So I was like, you know, if you guys are around and you come around on Christmas, you know, I'll think about going on Christmas because that's what I'll celebrate, you know, I'll celebrate that. So it just gets me to, you know, full circle, you know, as far as why I never really got into Easter. You know what I'm saying? I used to always have to go when I was a kid because both of my grandparents were, like, really, you know, religious at the time. So I would always get, like, a new suit and stuff like that, and that would be the one day that I had to go to church. But it always was just, you know, it always didn't really sit right with me for some reason. And then Christmas, you know, I was always, you know, I was a kid, so I just wanted my gifts. I was could care less about going to church on Christmas. I was just, you know, thinking of the materialistic part, but because I was benefiting because I'm a kid, I'm getting gifts and stuff like that. But, you know, now, you know, once again, I'm spiritual, so don't get me wrong. You know, for anybody who's been listening to this show, you know, when I do tap into my Christian roots, you know, that's been passed down from my grandparents, you know, like if I'm going to go and celebrate now, I would celebrate on Christmas because even though I look at it, you know, spiritually is like the winter solstice, and even now with Easter, the equinox, you know, if we're going to go back and you know, I guess modernize it. You know, it was Jesus' birth on Christmas. But I would rather just more or less definitely go to church and rejoice in that. So that's my thing. And then the other thing I'll just say that's kind of interesting, just so my observation is I never really wore a cross. You know what I'm saying? I never, you know, shout out to my mother-in-law. She bought me a cross. It just never really kind of, you know, felt right for me because that was always like a symbol of death to me, you know, in a way. You know, I know it's the resurrection and everything. But today, you know, I did put on my cross just as a respect, you know what I'm saying? But I'll take it off once the night is over. But I just wanted to, like, get my spiel on that. I know this is not the spiritual show, but once again, I'm not getting too religious on people and push my views on people. You know, whatever got you doing right, you know, by all means continue to rejoice in whatever's got you walking the right path. But I just wanted to kind of give my observation. But to anybody out there that does celebrate, you know, hope everybody have a happy and safe Easter. So that's that. But, you know, other than that, you know, shout out, you know, getting in tune with the spring. It's funny, business wise, I think what I'm kind of morphing into for spring, summer, you know, because like I said, I'm always a different person each season, is my government. I mean, of course, this is SG and Mo Benz. Whenever we do this show, it's always Mo Benz. But, like, you know, now that I'm moving and shaking with this real estate and everything, you know, I'm leaning towards into my government. So I just been kind of, and it's funny too, because, you know, my government name, you know, Morris. So, you know, I'm kind of just, you know, and I like how it sounds, you know, when people say my name, it just sounds more professional, you know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of leaning into that a little bit more, you know, moving into like the spring, summer. Cause I just, you know, I had it on the back, but I'll pull it out every 10, 20, 15 years. You know, the last time I kind of was on some business and brought it out, it was probably like 15, 20 years ago. But I'm like, all right, yeah, Morris. I've been kind of like introducing myself as that to my different clients and stuff now. And then, so I kind of see that as like, remember I told you, I'm always different each season. So that's kind of what I'm on. But, you know, other than that, once again, plan, strategize, execute, consistency, and let's just keep it moving. And then also, too, another funny thing, because we're going to get into the – run down some topics tonight because this is the world-famous chop-up, of course. But another album that I was listening to today that kind of just goes with the day because I don't really listen to this album too much anymore because, you know, he's my favorite rapper of all time, you know. But, you know, as time changes and I just see, like, the things, the mantras that he was saying, I was like, damn, that's what brought his downfall. But big shout-out to Biggie Smalls. You know, he had the hit album, his debut album was Ready to Die, and, you know, that's why I don't even like saying that. He had another hit song called More Money, More Problems. I don't like saying that. I like More Money, No Problems. But today, I have been listening to Life After Death. I just think it kind of goes with the whole, you know, Easter kind of vibe, you know, the resurrection and stuff like that. And big shout out to, we'll probably talk about this in a world famous chop up, but Hold Your Head, Puff. You know, they're coming for you. And I can't wait to hear what you got to say because there's been a lot of things that's been transpiring with Puff. But just like Trump, you know, not just like Trump because it's totally different, but, you know, I like to just see, you know, people that's in a power position, you know, how they can maintain and swerve. You know what I'm saying? We talked about Trump, about a month ago when he got fined for $370 or something like that. I sent you a link. I don't know if you saw it. But
yeah,
basically, you know, it got appealed from 370 down to 170, and after he paid it, they were asking him, like, how did you do it? He said, straight cash. Just kept it moving. So, you know, I like to see, you know, people persevere when like we always talk about when people try to get canceled, you know what I'm saying, see how they two-step around it or whatever. But, you know, that's all I have to say.
So Trump did pay it off. So you said Trump did pay it off.
Cash, straight cash. Yep, that's what he said. So
yeah, because it's like, and again, you know, I don't want to die because we not Diddy haters. We not anything that the masses is for. We are against it right here,
yeah.
Right? Because we see above that, and Diddy has one or two options. He's gonna sink or he's gonna swell. Diddy has been a lot of situations in his lifetime that have been that he could have sunk and he hasn't. And so right now, you know, this how they going hard at Diddy is because he done pissed somebody off. You know, somebody trying to sacrifice Diddy. And the thing is that as a people, what they used to do to us back in the day, they used to publicly lynch us, right? And so they publicly lynched our ancestors. So basically showing, like, okay, if you do this, this is the same thing that's going to happen to you. And basically nobody's standing up for this person. So if you stand up for them, also this is the same thing that's going to happen to you. Public ridicule, right? And so instead of them doing it, they've created a way for us to do it to ourselves with these vlog channels, with all of these channels that's going to continue to pump and push negative information. And instead of these blog channels saying, we're going to do a blackout. When it's our brothers, when it's our people, we not gonna promote against it. You know, they get views and they get money by the gossip, so they're going to continue to do it. So is this something that you want to continue to back and support because they are getting financial compensation based on your views, whether it's true or not? Nothing has come out on either side of being true or not. You know what I'm saying? And so we are just supporting, you know what I'm saying, false narratives because they tried to say Diddy escaped. And then that story went to the waistline very fast. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I feel like instead of taking sides.
I don't believe that.
Instead of taking sides, you should just sit back. The same way I supported Diddy before this, I'm going to support him now. And until you show me something that shows that, I shouldn't support him, then I'm going to continue to support him. This is another public ridicule. This is a public lynching that they try to do the same way they did with Tory Lanez. And even though Tory Lanez was still innocent, then they seen that the public wasn't going for their shenanigans, so then they went on the back end to try to find him guilty. Tory Lanez is in jail as an innocent man. You know what I'm saying? The evidence in court didn't even make sense. But, hey, the human race, they don't have common sense, so they're not going to see that this doesn't make sense, and we still going to charge him with what we want to charge him for. He is sitting in jail as an innocent man. So when we look at all of these things and how they try to run this narrative against us, we have to be bigger than that. So it's up to Puffy. You know, he's going to sink or he's going to swim at this time. Puffy went through something similar to this, people may not know, a lot of years ago. And guess what Puffy did? Puffy stayed quiet and he went in the shadows for a couple of years. Like, he absolutely stayed quiet. He didn't say shit. He went in the shadows. He let everybody talk, and then he resurfaced and made all his money back. You know what I'm saying? So Puffy's been doing this, but it's up to him now whether he's going to sneak or swim. So and hopefully he swims because, you know, I'm sick and tired of seeing our brothers. We want to see billionaires and millionaires, people that truly make it. We want to think so negative. We want to think that shit is going crazy because it's them. And we want to think, nah, it's this, it's us, that. But I support Diddy. As I told you before at the beginning of Ye, I support Ye, I support Diddy. You know what I'm saying? However this may play out for him, whether he go down, whether he swim, you know, I hope that he got his ducks in a row to do the best thing that he can do. But I just really, really want... I want us to realize that this shit is politics, and it's not real. It's not real at all.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I guess that was one story. So, you know, once again, this is Real Dope Talk with SGMO Benz. Of course, this is the last Sunday fun day of March. We are saying bye to March the 31st. It's been a long month. A lot of things transpired. Like I said, Black went across the world and came back. You know, like I said, this is the world famous Chopper. So, you know, I got a few things to run down to people, especially whenever we have 2 weeks off. You know, I'm locked and loaded. But before I get into, you know, the different topics that I have for tonight, Black, I know you've been gone and stuff like that. And thank you for, you know, giving the highlights of your trip to Lagos. Big shout out to SA, by the way. That's my homie SA, you know, straight out of Lagos, but he moved back, you know, used to be up here in New York City with me. Real good friend of mine. But Black, this past few weeks, other than Trump, other than Puff, you know, was there anything that you was tripping on that's been in the
Well,
in the
I honestly haven't seen anything other than Diddy. Okay. So no, I can't, because I left on the 17th. Of March,
okay.
And I came back 26th of March. So I have literally been locked and loaded.
Look, I'm going to put you on. I'm going to get you up to speed on what's been happening
all right.
Here. So, all right, so let me see. Let me see how I can run down. So first and foremost, let me get into this. You know what I'm saying? So I said that while we took, you know, some time off and, you know, did some behind-the-scenes things here with the show, I said I was going to be dropping my top 10 list, and that I did. So big shout out to the top 10 list. You know, it's curated by me, Mo Benz. And this is my best list. You know, it's been a minute. It's been like about a year or so. You know what I'm saying? So always get good feedback on it. You know what I'm saying? To me, I look at it like it's the all-star team of 2024. So definitely, you know, I'll give like a quick synopsis, but if you want to check out the list, definitely just go to the Real Adult Talk Twitter page. You know, we spell it Real Adult Talk. We spell Talk, T-A-W-K. You know, we put that country twang on it. But, yeah, man. So that went down. Hold on, just getting everything prepared so I can run it down. But, yeah, so, you know, for the last year or so, you know, OnlyFans have really took over, you know what I'm saying, and in a good way, you know what I'm saying, because that gave an outlet for, you know, just people to whoever you know, is in the industry to kind of just make money and boss up on their own terms. But this list, I was able to kind of showcase some of the talented starlets I just seen just making moves and been doing it for years. And, you know, so with that being the case, I'm just going to run it down real quick. So number 10 was a starlet by the name of Leela London. And she's like OnlyFans or whatever. But I think she's making splash. If she ever went mainstream, I think she'd definitely be a first round draft pick. So shout out to her. Number 9, a starlet by the name of Mimi Curvaceous. Just, you know, thick. Just, you know what I'm saying? If you like the thickness, I do. Big shout out to her. She's retiring, so she says, from the industry this year. So, you know, give her a round of applause for a nice run. Number 8, big shout out to 216, the Great Lakes by way of Cleveland. She goes by the name of AJ. I think it's Aaliyah or whatever, but that's AJ 216, another OnlyFans type of situation. Check her out, you know what I'm saying? She definitely, what did I see? You know, you'll see all the captions that I did for each one. But basically, you know, she promotes self-love. I'll just say that. Self-love sometimes can be the best love, you know what I'm saying? So big shout-out to that. Number 7, big shout-out to Portia Carrera. You know what I'm saying? She's been in the game for a minute. She's definitely a follower of the show. And the Twitter page, man, big shout out to her. Peace and love, man. She's, you know, just been doing her thing for a long time. So big ups. That was number 7. Number 6, big shout out. Now, Black just came back from West Africa, you know, Nigeria. But I want a shout out to East Africa, the other side, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to give a shout out to Zawadi. She comes from Kenya. So a big shout out to Zawadi, you know what I'm saying, Kenyan, starlet, doing her thing, you know what I'm saying, been doing it for a minute. She's definitely one of the ones to check out. So that's number 6. Number 5, yo, big shout out, Black's Neck of the Woods, you know what I'm saying? And I said, number 5, Skylar Nicole. Big shout out to Miss Skylar Nicole. Ice just chocolate, you know what I'm saying? Chocolate, just chocolate, chocolateness, you know what I'm saying? And she comes to us from Orlando. And I said, Orlando Magic. She has that Orlando Magic. Not talking about hoops. So big shout out to them Florida females, you know what I'm saying? Hold it down. Number 4, Nadia J. So big shout out once again to Great Lakes by way of Detroit. Peace and love. You know what I'm saying? Number 3, we got a throwback. She came back like she never left. You know, she was an old school starlet, but just came back, you know, the whole OnlyFans wave. She caught a new wave. Years later, 20 years later, she's back on the scene. Big shout out to Caramel. You know what I'm saying? That's an old school favorite, but now she new old school, new school. You know what I'm saying? Number 2, now this is the one starlet in the list that I think is headed to the Avian Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? She's been doing it and doing it well. And she's mainstream as it gets. But big shout out to Jenna Fox. And she comes from Vancouver, Canada. So that's number 2. And then number 1, I just got hit the earth not too long ago, man. But she seemed like she's just been beasting, man. You know, she's just the typical, you know, when a starlet just get into the game and really just get going and get into their groove, she's definitely exemplifying that right now. But number 1 right now, Lala Ivy. I just think she's like just your prototypical adult starlet. So that was the top 10 starlets in the game 2024. Definitely, yeah, man, I worked on this list for a while. It's been a long time coming. I've been, you know, putting it off, but finally, you know, had the 2 weeks off, and definitely go to the Twitter page, check it out, you know what I'm saying, and see what you think, man. So that was the top 10 starlets of 2024, curated by your guy, Mo Ben. So let's see here. Now, the other thing, too, let's see, what time is it? We got about, it's 9:50. Well, so we still got some time left in the show. So without further ado, let me get into this Tuesday's edition of the World Famous Chop Up. So big shout out to my co-host Kev Herc. You know, we come together on Twitter Tuesdays and just chop it up. Three awesome topics. We run it down for the people. So this week's show, this is what I'm cooking up, what I'm working on, and it'll be interesting to, you know, as we run it down for the people. You know, just three topics that I'm working on for this Tuesday. So, big shout out to Hulu. Hulu, they finally came with the new documentary. Yes, and Freak Neek. So, big shout out to Freak Neek. You know, and for anybody out there, Freak Neek is started out as a like a black college spring break down in Atlanta, GA, in Georgia. And it's funny, you know, I've been to, never been a Freak Neek, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I've done my tours of Georgia or of Atlanta, Miami. And when I say my tours, you know, I don't do this like when I'm just in New York or, you know, just around. But, you know, when I'm on a vacation, I do like to frequent and see what, you know, what spots is popping, you know what I'm saying? So when it comes to Miami, you know, I've been to Rolex, King of Diamonds, Atlanta, I've been to Onyx. Last time I was there, I had a good time in Magic City, you know what I'm saying, brought in my birthday. Next time I come down, I definitely got to check out the Blue Flame. You know, a big shout-out to Killer Mike. I know that's, like, his favorite place. But anyway, that brings me to this, because now Atlanta has been very organized as far as the way they do it now. You know what I'm saying? If you want to indulge in the nightlife, if you want to indulge in the nightlife, you know, you just go. And, you know, of course, that's what Atlanta, you know, the South is known for, but more particularly Atlanta. You know, you can really just, you know, it's respected. You know what I'm saying? Everybody respects the hustle. Everybody knows, you know, this is a place where you can go listen to some good music, get some chicken wings, rejoice and kick it with your fellas, ladies. You know, last time I was, both times, or actually every time I went to any of those spots I just mentioned, it was just as many females, I mean, and not working there, just as patrons, as it was guys. So, so that's just the wave. But anyway, what kind of started that, in a way, was Freak Neek. You know what I'm saying? So it was a documentary that's on Hulu now. Very well done. It just documents it, because I was just a little too young to get down there at the time. You know, I wish I could have got there. But funny thing, I swear, just watching it, it reminded me of the Great Lakes by way of Cleveland. Of course, that's where I'm from. But we kind of had our own little, like, mini Freak Neek in Cleveland. Like, just, that was just the wave, you know what I'm saying? That era, like, that early 90s, you know what I'm saying? Because Freak Neek started in the late 80s, you know, with just colleges and stuff, you know, going down to Atlanta, you know, all the HBCUs going to Atlanta and just rejoicing, you know what I'm saying? While the O'Fays went to, like, you know, Daytona Beach and all that shit, we went to Atlanta. And, you know, it started out that way. But then once word got out, because I remember I started hearing about it up in Cleveland. Oh, man, Freak Neek, you know what I'm saying? And then that just, it just, more and more people started going. And then it just got to a point where, you know, it wasn't even a college thing anymore. It was just a whole situation. And then the music got tied in together, you know. So big shout out to and they talk about it in a documentary, and me and Kev will go back and forth giving our, like, highlights of, you know, what we thought about the documentary and stuff like that. But long story short, you know, you had Jermaine Dupri putting on for Atlanta back in the day, and then you had Luke. Big shout out to Uncle Luke. I just talked about Miami. You already know what Luke, how Luke get down. So once Luke got there, it really became the freak meet. But then, shout out to BMF. I'll probably watch an episode of BMF tonight after I finish the show, because this third season of BMF is in that same pocket right now. So they're in that, you know, early 90s Atlanta vibe. So, you know, it's going hand in hand, especially with Freak Meek. But anyway, what kind of caused the demise of Freak Meek? Other than, like I said, it wasn't a college thing anymore. It was just like anybody just coming here, just trying to see something and get into something and all that type of stuff. Was the 96 Olympics. So, you know, big shout out to the 96 Olympics in Atlanta. That really put ATL on the map. You know, ever since they had the Olympics, you know, they haven't looked back. You know, Atlanta has been just, you know, just on fire, you know, basically since 96, you know, they, like I said. So, you know, if you look at the documentary, it just talks about, like, when they had to start cleaning it up, because now, you know, the world's watching, and, you know, they wanted to make sure that the Atlanta, you know, had a good showing and was worthy of being an Olympic city. And that was pretty much the demise. You know, after that, you know, they made it so tough for you to kind of, like, get to different places, because they had so many things, like, cut off and cops there, so you had to really go ride all out the way, and, you know, and they kind of just ruined it. You know what I'm saying? But everything has its time. But, you know, it was definitely a time when I just remember hearing back in the day, seeing like little videos here and there, like literally videos, not stuff you streaming, like literally VCR videos of, oh, you know, footage of the Freak Meek and stuff like that. But, you know, it just used to be a vibe, man, for the early 90s. Definitely some straight old school Atlanta type-ish. So that's that, you know, so that'll be one topic that we'll discuss this week. And then a music topic is kind of like a mini throwback. And I say that because the album that we're going to be discussing actually came out last year. And the reason why I didn't do a review is because I was waiting for this album, because I thought this album, it just sounded like Freak Meek, or it sounded like the Essence Fest. You know what I'm saying? It just had that vibe, that you know, that southern old school vibe, you know, of when the Freak Meek and stuff like that was popping. So big shout out to, like I said, this album came out last year, but I was waiting for them to actually put out the Freak Meek documentary so I could really talk about it, because it seemed like it wouldn't have the same weight talking about it without Freak Meek kind of setting up the conversation. But anyway, big shout out to Currency and Jermaine Dupri. You know, they had dropped an album last year, and it was called For Promotional Use Only. And it's just a dope album, man. I can't wait to, you know, to review it and unpack it with Kev. But just to give you a sneak peek, you know, Currency's in his bag always. But really, this was dope because, you know, you really haven't heard nothing from Jermaine Dupri with any newer artists, this, you know, new wave. So it was a perfect compliment. And Jermaine Dupri, he hasn't lost a beat. Like, if you like Jermaine Dupri from back in the day when he was with, you know, I wasn't the biggest fan, but when he was with the Brat and Criss Cross, I really, I always respected his, you know, what he brought to the table. He brought out TLC, you know, worked with Escape. So, you know, Jermaine Dupri has always been just a staple in Atlanta. But he still is the same Jermaine Dupri from the way he was back then to the way he is now. You know what I'm saying? It's like the same thing. Like, the same type of swag he brought back then is the same. Like, he hasn't lost a beat when it comes to that. It's just like, you know, he doesn't really have any artists that he's really putting out there. Like, cool album, you know, with Currency. Because Currency is, you know, obviously he represents New Orleans, but he knows about that southern flavor. You know what I'm saying? And I mentioned Freak Meek, but, you know, we still have Essence Fest that happens in New Orleans. I haven't been to that, you know, but, you know, you always hear how Essence Fest still goes up to this day. So we're going to be reviewing that album. And then third topic, you know, we got to have a sports topic. So Monday, and big shout-out to Women's Hoops. You know, we had the women's show with the world-famous Chop Up Tuesday edition, like, 2 weeks ago. shout out to everybody that listened, man. It got a really good response. You know, all the women, you know, it was just a dedication that me and Kev did for the ladies out there. And it still is Women's Month. This is the last day. So, you know, shout out to my wife. Shout out to Black. Shout out to, you know, all of our women listeners. Shout out to all our listeners, period. But, you know, if you're women, you know, just peace and love to you. You know, this is your month. You know, we salute women. But with that being the case, we were talking about March Madness, the women's tournament. You know, I've been watching it. Big fan of women's college basketball now. Like I said, it's my favorite women's sporting event since, like, Serena Williams playing tennis. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really gives me, like, the kind of same joy in watching that, man. I just like to see the competition, man. The females do their thing. But anyway, Monday, tomorrow. So if you're listening to this live, you know, Monday's tomorrow. If you're listening to this later on during the week or, you know, later on, whenever you get a chance to listen to this, then it's a throwback of what has already transpired. But anyway, tomorrow we got a big-time matchup in college, women's hoops. Can't wait to watch it. 7 o'clock tomorrow, ESPN, I believe. But you have Caitlin Clark's representing Iowa. You know, Caitlin Clark, white girl that can shoot the basketball, man. She's got game, man. She's like a female Steph Curry out there, man. She can really play ball. You know what I'm saying? And her shot is crisp and pure and wet. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to her. But then you got Angel Reese, who won the tournament last year with LSU. I like Angel Reese, man. She's a forward center. You know, Angel Reese is like 6'3". You know, been doing her thing. So, you know, of course, that was the championship last year, and LSU beat Iowa. But now they're meeting up in what is the Elite Eight. So this game, whoever wins this game, will go on to the Final Four. So just a big game. So, you know, we're going to be talking about, and then my wife, who doesn't like sports at all, she's like always talking ish when I'm watching too much of it. She wants to turn the channel. But she made an interesting observation. And I'm like, wow, look at you, knowing about sports. But anyway, you know, Caitlin Clark is Caucasian. Angel Reese is Black. And they are two of the hottest things in women's hoops because it's like life repeats itself. You know how life comes in cycles. Because if we rewind the time, go all the way back to like 1978, 79, you had in the college, you had Larry Bird and you had Magic Johnson, who were going back and forth, you know, playing each other on a collegiate level. And then they were able to take their skills to the pros. You know, of course, Larry Bird went to the Boston Celtics. Magic Johnson went to the Los Angeles Lakers. And in the 80s, those were always epic battles, man. They were going back and forth. Big shout out to them, man. They really ushered in a new era and, you know, gave way for the Michael Jordans and Isaiah Thomas's. Well, I should say Isaiah Thomas first because he came before Michael Jordan. But the Bad Boy Pistons and the Chicago Bulls, you know, it was Celtics Lakers before all that. So it gets us to thinking, you know, I'm not the biggest WNBA fan. I'm really not at all. I like college hoops, women's hoops, but I'm not WNBA, not so much. But maybe that's because you don't have two dynamic stars, because people might have felt the same way about the NBA way back in the day. Like, you know, I maybe like college, you know, basketball, but I don't really fuck with the NBA. That's probably how they maybe thought it in the 70s. And so that changed when Bird and Magic came on the scene, and, you know, the rest is kind of history. So we'll be diving into that. You know, Kev is the basketball aficionado, so, you know, when we get to talking basketball, it's always a good conversation. So those are the three topics that's on deck for this coming week. And then let's see here. So yeah, and then big shout out to the Women's Final Four. You know, that's going to be next weekend, and that's actually in Cleveland. And it's actually at my old college, I believe. You know, because I went to Cleveland State University, and I believe it was called the Convocation Center back then. That's where like Cleveland State used to play, but I believe that's where they're going to have the Women's Final Four next week. So big ups to Cleveland. You know, that'd be cool. All right, so. So that's what's coming up this Tuesday. So, you know, so definitely check that out. You know, once again, to be plugged into that, just follow my Twitter, MoBins, MoBinns, you know, or @RapSportsLife, and then you'll be plugged in. And once again, that's every Twitter Tuesday, 8 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, what I'm working on for the following week, because like I said, there's been just a lot of things going on, is the following week, I'm gonna be working on kind of like a Texas type of theme show, I think. You know what I'm saying? And the reason why I say that is because we're going into, I know I'm talking women's hoops, but we're going into to the playoffs. You know, the playoffs will be happening pretty soon. Actually, April is pretty much the last month before we get into the NBA playoffs, which is like one of my favorite sport events as well, man. I love the NBA playoffs because the NBA playoffs, it starts and it takes you all the way to the summertime. So that's when you know it's officially, you know, warm outside. The season has totally changed and it's nice, you know. So that's going to be cool. But we have the play-in tournament. Now, if you know anything about the NBA playoffs, there's 8 teams from each conference that makes it. So you got the Eastern Conference and you got the Western Conference. But then you have the play-in tournament. And the play-in tournament is generally, if I'm not mistaken, it's like who's in the 7th place, the 8th place, and the 9th place. They all kind of play in like a little one-game tournament to see who solidifies the 7th and the 8th seed. I think it's 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th place. So it's like four slots, four teams to compete. So who's at the back of the tournament right now is the L.A. Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. They're like two of the teams. And those are two big-time names. You know, of course, you got Steph Curry, Golden State. You got LeBron, L.A. Lakers. You know, L.A. is a big market. But you got the Houston Rockets that's kind of creeping in, creeping on a come-up, you know, slowly but surely. So, and I'm kind of rooting for Houston because I want to see them, like, you know, break it up because everybody wants to see, the normal teams you always hear about, Golden State and L.A. in this playing tournament to see who's actually going to make the playoffs. But I would like to see Houston. Big shout-out. That's where, actually, Ime Udoka is now the coach of the Houston Rockets. You know, of course, anybody who knows, Ime Udoka used to coach the Boston Celtics. He is Nia Long's baby father. That's when they were actually together. Shit hit the fan. He had a situation basically at his job, and he was removed from his position. The Brooklyn Nets could have had him pissed off that they didn't, take a chance. They didn't want all the controversy at this time. So they didn't pick him up. But Houston Rockets did, and now he's the coach, and now they're doing pretty good. Also, with that team, they got another guy named Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks was with Ja Morant. You know, Dylan Brooks had, like, the long kind of braids. And he was kind of like the goon on the Memphis Grizzlies last year when Memphis was doing their thing, when Ja Morant was doing their thing. That team has totally fell apart. Ja Morant, you know, got all into his gun stuff and got suspended, then came back, got hurt. They traded Dylan Brooks, and Dylan Brooks was talking shit to LeBron. You know, they didn't back it up. They lost, and then they traded Dylan Brooks, who is actually the heart and soul of the Memphis Grizzlies, and their team has been trash ever since. But he's landed on his feet. Ime Udoka was like, okay, come here. You know what I'm saying? Sign here. You know what I'm saying? We rock with you. And I just like the fact that Ime Udoka was a cast off from Boston. You know, he got fired once he had a situation. They didn't want to re-sign Dylan Brooks in Memphis because, you know, he stood up to LeBron. Even though he lost, the fact that he stood up to him, like, I just thought, you know, that shows what Memphis is all about. Like, you know, you're supposed to back your guys, win, lose, or draw, and they didn't. So, and then they got a new guy named Jalen Green, who's, new wave type of player, you know. And then, you know, when you're getting hot, the cougars of the industry come at you, you know what I'm saying? And he's already got a baby by, I don't even know her name, but I don't really follow her like that, but I know she was on Basketball Wives. I believe her name is Drea. She kind of looked like a bird to me, like a light-skinned bird. She got a nice body or whatever, but she looks like kind of like a bird in the face, in my opinion. But anyway, Drea end up, they got like a kid on the way, and from what I hear, and I don't get into this rumor shit and stuff like that, but it's all over the place, I guess. The Drea chick, she actually has a son, like his same age. It's just weird. But he's doing his thing. His name's Jalen Green. He's actually playing pretty good. So I just want to see all this drama, because this will be all this storyline if they make the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people want the same old Lakers, Golden State. They don't want Houston to get in there because they don't want to talk about these like sub-stories with Ime Udoka, Dylan Brooks, and Jalen Green. And me, you know, I'm with the shits. I want a little bit of controversy. So we'll be talking about that, not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, you know, Houston Rockets. And speaking of Texas, I got to give love and big shout-out, too. It's funny how things happen. Remember I was just talking about how we did a women's show on a world-famous shop-up, and one of our topics that we did was, like, top five albums of all time, top five female women albums of all time. Black, I would love to know your top five female albums of all time. I know you're not the biggest music person, but it'd be interesting to know. I don't know if you put the phone down, but you come back to the phone. Oh, yo, you here. I say my thing. I want to know, if you just off the top of your head, who would you say is your top for Women's History Month? Who would you say your top five female albums ever? So I'm going to give you mine real quick. So look, I'm going to give you mine. I know I probably put you on the spot, but look. And then I'll go back into my spiel of what I'm talking about, bring it full circle. But my top five, right? So let me see if I remember. So I said number one. No, it's in no particular order or nothing like that, because these are all classic albums. So I don't like one necessarily better than the other. I'm just saying it in order. But these are my top five that I thought of, right? So, all right, one album I have is Sade. So big shout out to Sade. I love the best of Sade. You know, you just came back from Nigeria. Shout out to Sade. She's half like Nigerian and half British. Love Sade, I do. The best of Sade, just put that on. It was like, you know, it was like on CD was the best of Sade. If you stream it, it's the best of Sade. Tremendous album. It's one of them albums when me and Kev was talking about, we both said, yeah, that's an album that you can just, if you want to clean your house, put on some Sade and just zone out. You know what I'm saying? So that's one. Another album that I picked out was, big shout out to Lauryn Hill. Now, Kev, he picked out The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. That was one of his. So, you know, and I can't, you know, nobody's going to dispute that. You know what I'm saying? But the one I picked, you want to hear some good stuff, man, when she was in her zone. The Lauryn Hill MTV Unplugged. It was a double disc back in the day when it was on CD. It's when she was really with Rohan Marley. Shout out to Rohan Marley. He was just on Drink Champs. That's Bob Marley's son. That's her baby father. And she was just in her bag, man. Talk about an intelligent album. Yes, the Lauryn Hill Unplugged. Man, press play, let it go. Just great. Just a great, great, great album, man. Just the lyrics and what she's talking about is on par. So that was two. Then my third that I had listed was, let me see here. Oh, big shout out to Mary J. You know what I'm saying? What's the 411? Man. At least once a year, I always zone out to that album, and you know what I'm saying? That's, if you want to hear, people say Diddy, or no Diddy now, people are really saying. That's a new term I from what I hear. Instead of saying Paul, people saying no Diddy now. But anyway, long story short, before all the Diddy stuff, and I don't even call him that anyway, when he was Puff, What's the 411? That's Young Puff. That's when he was with Uptown Records. That's when he was like, you know, an intern, you know, with Andre Harrell before he started Bad Boy. He was rocking with Jodeci, you know what I'm saying? Really, that's when he, you know, really learned his craft. You know, he was going to Howard, went back and forth to D.C. from Howard to New York. So shout out to Young Puff and him and Mary J. What's the 411? Great album. I love the intro. If you ever listen to the intro of that album, it's just mad people, you know, giving her respect, like, oh, we can't wait for this album, like, you about to take off, and it was dope, man. So shout out to that album. So now two other albums that I have to mention is shout out to Lil Kim Hardcore. You know what I'm saying? I just changed the game as far as females. You know what I'm saying? Even to this day, you know, you got to give props to all, because all the females are doing their thing now. You know, so much women empowerment to a certain extent, because women is, you know, they know it. I just gave my top 10 of adult starlets in the game, and, you know, women is using their sexuality to their benefit. You know what I'm saying? So more power to that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, if you can, you know, boss up doing that, hey, You know what I'm saying? And Little Kim Hardcore was like the first album to really showcase that. So shout out to that. And then number five, or, you know, just the fifth album that I had listed was shout out to Solange. You know what I'm saying? Solange, she's got this album. It's called A Seat at the Table. Me and my wife, we really enjoy that album. We both like that album probably just as much. It was hosted by Master P. So, but it was so dope. Solange was so in her bag. And that album is like a, to me, it's like a No Limit R&B album. Because, you know, just the Solange, her songs, her lyricism, just the vibe of the album. Like I said, Master P coming on, you know, like saying his snippets and stuff like that. Very dope. So with that being the case, I want to hear your top five, Black, like I said, if you're still on the line. But it brings me to Beyonce, because Beyonce just dropped a new album that me and Kev is going to. So, yeah, who would you say is your top five albums?
I'm going to say my five artists and not my top five albums.
All right, yeah, top five female artists. Yeah, we can do it like that because albums are a little, you really got to do some research.
They've all, like, come out with some fire shit. And this is
okay.
Not in order. But number one is Escape, okay?
Okay,
the
group right.
Escape.
I love you.
That's the shit that you grew up to. That's what you vibe with. That's how you grew. Also, Lil' Kim. I was in the Lil' Kim area.
All right, so that's two. Lil' Kim, yeah.
And another one. Okay.
We got Escape, Lil' Kim. Who else?
Erykah Badu, okay?
I be seeing you with your Baduism. You know what I mean? I be seeing you.
Erykah Badu. Also,
yeah.
Sade. Like, you can't, love music and not love Sade. She is very important to whatever it is that you are doing.
That's
a fact. And Aaliyah.
Number five. And
Aaliyah, baby.
One in a million?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one I was talking about.
I gave my heart to. Listen. And I was sick, baby. I was bobbing to Aaliyah way back then in the rain. When she was going to shoot music videos to one of my favorite songs, and that's how she passed away. Like,
yeah, the rock.
Yeah.
Shout out to Timbaland, man. Timbaland's production on that. I remember that One in a Million, Hot Like Fire. What was the other song?
Yeah.
Four Pizzetta. Yeah, that album was a staple. You know what I'm saying? And even before that, AJ Number, The Number, the one Isley Brothers song she redid. Yeah, Aaliyah's dope. You know what I'm saying? So definitely. Yeah, all right. Black Star, I see you. I see your music taste. So, now, with that being the case, like I said, that was just 2 weeks ago when we did the women's show. We were going back and forth talking about the albums that we really liked. It's like Beyonce must have, obviously, I don't, you know, it would be dope if Beyonce listened to the show. But, you know, I don't think she's listening just as of yet. Soon, but not as of yet. But it seemed like she was on a wavelength because we were going back and forth talking about the popular albums. And here comes Beyonce, like. She must have been mad that me and Kev didn't pick one of her albums. And, you know, you just ran down your, like, top five female artists. You didn't say Beyonce. And I said, you know, as far as albums, I like Solange's album, A Seat at the Table, more than any of Beyonce's albums. You know what I'm saying? Because to me, that was when Solange, like, let people – I was telling the story of, like, that album came out when they had this situation where they was at some fancy event and – Jay-Z did something that Solange didn't like, and they got into it in the elevator. And ever since then, I think I just got tremendous respect for Solange for sticking up for Beyonce, you know, her big sister or whatever. But anyway, I say all that to say this. I'm not going to say I was pleasantly surprised, because when I first heard the single, I was like, okay, this could be something right here. But shout out to Beyonce, man. Her new album that she just dropped this past, what was it, Friday, you know, or Thursday night at midnight. What is it called? Cowboy Carter. And it's pretty good, man. I will say, you know, me and Kev will discuss it, you know, give our review in like 2 weeks. And this will be good, too, because about 2 weeks from now, everybody's heard it. So we'll be able to really, you know, get some traction, I think. But yeah, just to give a quick review, you know, because, of course, here on the Sunday show, I'm always going to, come with it first here and give my preview. So I definitely give it, I'm teetering 4.5 to 4 mics. I definitely give it 4 mics. I mean, I just didn't really like the intro, the first intro, whatever. But from there, it just goes. It goes into like really good stuff, man. And I'm not saying I like all the songs, but I really like, because it's essentially a country album. And from Texas Hold'em, you know, that's like her first single, Texas Hold'em, 16 Carriages. That's another one. And Beyonce, it's really like, this was a really good transition for her. I think this was like the perfect time to do something different. It's kind of reminiscent of when Kanye started doing gospel music. And you see, that just became part of his bag, you know, even though, you know, ever since Kanye first came out, 'cause of course, Jesus Walks, you know, that was a gospel song essentially. And then years later, you know, he had gospel albums. But yeah, this is in that same kind of wave. And it Beyonce, she sounds good. It doesn't sound forced. I love the features. You know, she's got Willie Nelson, who I've always been a fan of, man. That old dude, man, just be smoking weed, chilling, you know, playing his music or whatever. So he's got a couple of interludes on there. She's got Dolly Parton. Yo, she's older now, but man, back in the day, man, I was a sexy ass white Southern lady, man. I used to love her, man, when I was a little kid. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, damn, she got some big ass. Anyway, Dolly Parton, I loved her voice. You know what I'm saying? She always had a little Southern voice, but she's on a couple of snippets on the album. She sounds really good with Miley Cyrus. She's got a duet with Miley Cyrus, Billy Ray Cyrus' daughter or whatever. Or, you know, most people know Miley Cyrus now, probably even more than her father, Billy Ray Cyrus. But she sounds really good, man. Like, she sounds like, I always kind of like country music, but, like, you know, our people don't really do it like that. But every time I was just saying to my wife, like, every time I, like, we hear country music, they always had deep-ass stories, and it was just, like, real basic, you know what I'm saying? Like, just a guitar and a story, and it just seemed like they kind of, like, getting drunk off some whiskey or something like that, you know what I'm saying? But you feel it, you know what I'm saying? And I think Beyonce really did a nice job tapping into that. But, yeah, so the song with her and Miley Cyrus is probably, like, one of my favorite songs on there. She's got a song on there with Post Malone, very good song. It's just like I said, man, it's a good album. You know, I definitely give it 4 mics. You know, I can't wait to, you know, I'm still unpacking it, but you know, I have that in like heavy rotation. It's probably my favorite the album now, I think. You know what I'm saying? You know, Beyonce, I got like a love hate relationship with Beyonce. You know, I don't like her as much as Solange. I like Solange better, but I still got respect for Beyonce. You know what I'm saying? She's had albums that I've liked. And then she's had albums where, like, all right, I like a few songs off of it. But this album, you know, I like. It's up there. It's probably, like, you know, it's been, like, a couple of albums of Beyonce that I rock with. But this is definitely one of them. And this might be my favorite. That might be an instant just classic for me as far as Beyonce. So shout out to her, man. You know, I didn't even know she, you know, this late in her career, still being consistent, still being sexy with it, you know, because Beyonce, you know, if nothing else, I don't know how much longer she got of doing this, you know, because she is getting up there. But if nothing else, you know, she can keep it sexy. She can dance, you know, and get people looking. And then once she gets you looking, you know, come with her new art, man. So, you know, shout out to Beyonce. So let's see here. We got about 3 more minutes before we wrap everything up. Just really quickly, a couple other things that was in the news, you know, while we were gone. Shout out to Dr. Dre. Peace to Dr. Dre, man. He got his Hollywood Walk of Fame. You know, I know Snoop got his like a couple of years ago, so that was big. You know, Dr. Dre got it. You know, Eminem was there. Snoop, of course, and 50 Cent. You know what I'm saying? Well-deserved. Dr. Dre is the GOAT when it comes to producers, rap producers. He's my favorite of all time. You know, you already know what he did with N.W.A. The Chronic is probably the best rap album of all time. You know, well-deserved, Dr. Dre. Shout out. And the fact that it's in Cali, you got your Walk of Fame, man. That's just that's just the way it's supposed to be done. Let me see. Once again, now, it's funny because I broke up with Netflix, you know, a few months ago, right? And it just seemed like ever since I broke up with Netflix, they be trying to get me back. And I'm not trying to get back. You know what I'm saying? But Mike Tyson, you know, big shout out to Mike Tyson. I'm a huge Mike Tyson fan. He's got one of my other favorite podcast, Hot Box on Mike Tyson. I noticed, I think you finally got a couple of new episodes up. I got to get caught up. But for the longest time, I'm like, yo, where Mike Tyson been at? Why ain't had no new episodes? Well, here it is. Basically, he's got a new exhibition fight coming up with Jake Paul. Big shout out to Cleveland by way of big shout out to the Great Lakes by way of Cleveland. But Jake Paul, him and his brother, I forgot his brother's name, but two white dudes, YouTubers, out of Cleveland too. You know what I'm saying? They from like Pepper Pike or some shit, like some off like town, like on the outskirts of Cleveland. But anyway, two white boys, they then came up boxing on YouTube, and the one dude, I get them mixed up, but the one dude really got his shine because Nate Robinson, who shouldn't have probably been boxing in the first place, because he used to play basketball. He's like the short dude. He used to play with the Knicks, won a dunk contest a couple times, like in the early 2000s. Anyway, he did a celebrity boxing with Jake Paul and got knocked the fuck out. So anyway, ever since then, you know, this guy's had a pretty big following on YouTube. Some people talk shit, but they're like, yeah, YouTube, you're not really a boxer, but he's been making money, and he hasn't lost, I don't believe, yet. So now, you know, Mike Tyson's up there now. He's in his 50s. You know, he's getting close to 60. So I'm like, damn, Mike, I don't want to see you get knocked out. But, you know, and Mike been smoking a lot of weed. Whenever I watch the show, whoever hosting it with him, he's smoking. He's got, you know, that's his new thing now. But he's gotten tip-top shape. You know, I've been seeing Mike on Twitter. Like, this is what he does, man. Like, because he had a last exhibition fight. It was a couple years ago. That's when Smooth was on the show. We talked about when he fought Roy Jones, and he did good. He beat Roy Jones, you know what I'm saying? So, in the last exhibition fight, so this dude is in his 20s, though, Mike, and you're in your 50s, so I just hope it goes the same way, because I do not want to see this white dude knock out Mike Tyson. That's the last thing I want to see. But we shall see. We shall see, man. So that's coming up on Netflix, too. So that's the whole reason why I brought it up, because Netflix is really trying to reach and get new membership or keep memberships. They don't want to see people jump ship like I did. So so that's coming up, I believe, in May or some shit. Then other than that, another thing I'm vibing to, shout out to what is that? I think it's Generation V. And I think you already started watching this, Black. I think you was telling me about it. But I'm about to hop into that. You know, it's a spinoff from The Boys. I watched the first episode earlier today. I might watch that later on tonight, you know, either between that or the BMF, one of them. So shout out to that. You know, as I, you know, watch more of that, I'll probably, you know, talk a little bit more about that on the World Famous Chop Up. And then also, too, big ups, man. There's another thing I stumbled upon. It's on Hulu. The Secrets of Penthouse. And that was like an old school magazine back in the day. Rest in peace to my pops. You know, it was one of the, when I was young. I don't know, man. I found his stash. He had his Playboys. He had his Penthouse. He had his Hustlers. And I found the stash. And, but, you know, I was that little dude that wasn't just looking at the pictures. I was actually reading the articles, you know what I'm saying? And Penthouse was one of my favorites. I remember just the photography and the articles was well done. It was all about, like, business people and just thing that was popular in pop culture, and like this is like the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, like the stash of magazines that I remember. I remember it was always well done. But anyway, they got his story on Netflix, man, and it looks very interesting, man. So it's called The Secrets of Penthouse. You know what I'm saying? Most people know Playboy, Hugh Hef, but this dude is right up there. And a lot of people know about Hustler and what's the other guy that did Hustler? I can't even think of his name. But anyway, this guy was one. Oh, yeah, Larry Flint. Yeah, Larry Flint was Hustler. But this guy, he was the only person that hasn't got his story told, and it makes sense, man. Because if I'm really looking back at it, I think I might have liked Penthouse a little bit more, the best out of all three of those. You know, they was all cool, but I think I kind of liked Penthouse. And Penthouse was always the one that, you know, was kind of slept on. But I thought it was probably like the best one if I'm looking back. But anyway, so, you know, I just started watching that, so I'll probably – you know, dive into that a little bit. So, you know, especially that kind of like inspired, you know, when I was seeing those magazines when I was a little kid, it probably inspired my top 10 list. So the reason why I do the top 10 list now, you know what I'm saying, some roundabout way. But anyway, once again, this has been the World Famous Chop Up. Of course, this is Real Adult Talk with SGMO Benz. So peace and love to anybody that's out there listening. You know, we had the 2 weeks off. Big shout out to Black, you know what I'm saying, going over to the motherland, chilling in Nigeria, you know, rolling through Lagos. And, you know, just big ups to everything you're doing with that, Black, you know what I'm saying. Proud to see you doing your thing, you know what I'm saying. Like, it's got me inspired to get back on my traveling. But welcome back.
Yes, sir.
Yes, welcome back, you know what I'm saying. And as we, move forward, man, 2024, you already know how we do. Bigger and better things, man. So until next week. Everybody be safe. Signing off. Peace, peace, peace.
Peace.